Beautiful Lord's Day. Let's take our red hymn book and turn to, let me find it, 232? 232. And when I see the blood, first, second, and last verses, 232.
About that whole thing, I am the good. Jesus, how it thrills my ransom
turn in our red book to hymn number 208, Are You Washed in the Blood? We'll sing the first and second. Fellowship, come back on the last. 208 as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for a clean thee by? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusted in His ways, His Son? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless, other than white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Thank you. My Savior, my King, His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness for strength I can cling, for He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For He is so precious to me. He stood at my heart's door mid sunshine and rain, and patiently waited an entrance to gain. What shame that so long He entreated in vain, for He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For He is so precious to me. I praise Him because He appointed a place where someday through faith in His wonderful grace, I know I shall see Him, shall look on His face, for He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For He is so precious to me.
All right, thank you for that good message and song, Ms. Teresa. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Julius, this thing might have been left on. You hear anything? It's on. So. And let me borrow Brother Buddy's. Can you get Brother Buddy's? life of Abraham, we have been looking at several things. We've looked at the walk of a believer. We've looked at the failure of a believer. We have looked at the character of a believer. Now we want to look at the faithfulness of a believer. Abraham has many great life lessons to teach us. I've just given you three. We are now looking at a fourth one. Very important, perhaps the most important of all the character traits in the life of this man of God we can learn from is this one, and that is what we call being faithful. Chapter 13, let's begin reading verse 14 down to the end of the chapter. And the Lord said unto Abraham, or Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, help us, encourage us, teach us from the Word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Faithfulness. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, moreover, it is required in a steward that he be found faithful. If you look at the qualifications for a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you will see that faithfulness is intimated in that passage. God wants us to be faithful in the service of the Lord. And if you look at the life of Abram, you will find that his life is centered around one word or one thought, and that is faith. Faith. Now, how can you be faithful? Faithful is from the root word faith. That means being faithful to do something because it's right to do it. That fell in line a couple of weeks ago. We talked about character. Character is when you do right because it's right to do right. And so when you're talking about the faithfulness of Abram, here in this passage, we're learning some things about him. We are learning that every move that Abram made was by faith. We learn that every move made by Lot was based on sight. Because you remember when Lot had the choice, and that's what Abram did, gave him a choice between two pieces of land. He looked toward Sodom. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He saw and heard the things of Sodom, and that's what he wanted. That was not the way that Abram lived. Abram walked by faith. Lot is moving towards something. If you study the context of the chapters, Lot is moving toward what's called a pentapolis. And what a pentapolis is, if you've never heard it, it is a group of five cities, the Pentagon, five sides. A pentapolis, five cities. That would be Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboiim, and Zoar. And those are the five cities talked about in these chapters that he is moving toward. And of course, Sodom is the one that he decided to live in. You know that story very well. Abram has proven God in every area. After Lot's departure, Abram is still anchored by a life of faith. If he had a right, and he did physically he had a right to complain and say, why did he get the prettier piece of property? Why is it that he's getting the area that has the beautiful water and the green trees and the beautiful grass? And why did Lot get that? Why didn't I get that? That doesn't seem fair, but you just don't hear him complain. And my goodness, I tell you, if there's anything that's so hard for a believer, it's not to complain. That's so hard. Because my flesh just rallies up sometimes and just wants to fuss and wants to complain. But the life of faith doesn't complain. The life that Abram lived, I see no complaints. We talked about the other chapter, the previous chapter, we saw his lying problem. He had a lying problem when he went to Egypt, but I don't see him complaining. I don't hear him griping. That's tough, because after a while, I think sometimes we do get exasperated. And we think, Lord, when are you going to answer? I mean, here's Abram and Sarai being promised a child, and they are well past childbearing years, and you know they've got to be the criticism and the laughingstock of the people of that community, but they're still going on. They're still trying to trust the Lord, as difficult as it may be. Now, with all that in mind, I still see Abram trying to live a life of faith. And so he's to be commended, and we need to learn those lessons that he has learned himself. Let me show you about three things this morning about the faithfulness of God. Note the faithfulness of God's promises. The faithfulness of God's promises. What are the three questions under that? Question number one, what are the promises? Well, the promises, the literal land was to be given to Abram. And verse 14, if he didn't get the nicer part of the property, in verse 14, the Lord said to Abram after this fact, after that Lot was separated from him, then he looks and he says, lift up now. Notice that phrase, lift up now. Okay, let's look at what you got left. You didn't get the nicer property, but that's okay. That's all right. Because he said this, he said, look from the place where thou art in four different directions, north, south, east, and west. And then he said, verse 15, for all the land which thou seest. Wow. Everything that you look at with your eyes, I'm giving it to you. Now understand, this old man right here, technically he shouldn't be doing what he's doing, but he has started on a journey late in life, but God has promised him the strength to go on. And he said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. And to thy seed. Now there's only one problem with that. There's no seed. There's nobody to give it to. Yet. Part of faith. The difficulty of taking. Can I make a statement and you chew on this a while? The difficulty at taking God at His word. Do you understand how hard that is? There's plenty that God requires of us that we don't think we can do. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Have you ever said, now Lord, you said you wouldn't put on me any more than I could stand, but Lord, it's getting awful, awful heavy. Ever been there? Tough. And so here, we see having to deal with the fact that there is a literal land to be given to Abram, and Abram's dealing with it. And then he says that the land's going to be given to his seed, but there is no seed yet. Lord, what's going on here? And then the seed is to be composed of a great posterity. Verse 16 says, and I will make thy seed, in future tense, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man can number the dust of the earth, then also shall thy seed also be numbered. And you know who he's talking about. He's talking about Israel. Now here's an old man. I'm not being disrespectful. There's an old woman. And the odds of them having a child is nilch. It should not happen. Biologically, chemically, physically, scientifically, should not happen. And now God, can I use this phrase, is adding insult to injury? Because now he's saying you're going to have a multitude of seed and you're going to have land as much as you walk on, it's your land. And he said, if you can take, in verse number 16, he said, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man, did you notice that? If a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Now let's think just for a moment. Think historically about the nation of Israel. And tell me if you are able, if you know anybody that's able to number Israel. Now when I say Israel, I'm not just talking about that country over there. I'm talking about the Jews that live all over the world.
They say that more Jews live in New York City than live in Israel. But how many more Jews are there? How many Jews are there in Virginia? How many Jews are there in Florida? How many Jews are there in Poland? How many Jews are there in Russia? Multitudes of them. God has kept His word. We look back and see how God has kept His word. He has done so. All right? Now, in Abram's day, did Abram believe that God was going to do this? I think he did, but you can't tell me he didn't have questions. Because this is a big statement. He said, everywhere you touch, that's your land, and that land is going to be given to you and to your seed, which will not be able to be numbered. Something else about that seed, notice that the seed is compared to as dust. Now, ladies, spring, did you have your spring cleaning yet? When you get that spring cleaning, you open the windows up in the house and you start dusting and you get your polish and you get your stuff and you spray it down and you start wiping and all this. Now, can you pick up that dust by your fingers? Not this way. You swipe it. He said that the dust is symbolic of the amount of seed or ancestors or however you want to put it, it's going to be in the future as far as Israel is concerned. Just like that dust. If you can count the dust, because he said if. So that if, verse 16, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Anybody try to stop that seed? Yeah, a fellow named Adolf did. How far did Adolf get? Adolf put a lot of Jews to death. But you know what? They're still around. Adolf's not. Mussolini tried. The Jews are still here. Mussolini's gone. You can take anybody that's ever tried to destroy Israel, and you take her to the bank. They might have succeeded in taking out a number, and that number may have been a pretty good number, but the Jews are still here. He promised that. And so he's being faithful, the Bible says, according to this promise given by the Lord. What are the promises? We just talked about it. Why the repetition? This is a repeat of something already given in chapter 12. Why is God saying it again? Because God is reaffirming the promises of His Word for the believer's admonition. Do you know sometimes, have you ever read in your Bible and you had your devotions and you read things that jumped out at you? And it's like, Lord, how many more times have I got to read this? As long as it takes to stick. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how seasoned you may be. I declare there will be times in your life where you're going to hit the rock bottom of the barrel and it's going to seem like the pages of this book are empty. There are times you've got to keep going to those same promises and keep reading them, even though at the time your flesh doesn't believe it. And then what was the purpose of Lot's visit? Of the Lord's visit, excuse me. Well, why did the Lord come to him? Possibly to confirm in Abram's heart what could possibly have been doubt and envy. We don't know that for a fact, but something made the Lord come down and talk to him audibly, face to face, about this situation. And maybe there was doubt. Maybe there was envy. Maybe there was uncertainty. I don't know. But something caused the Lord to come and speak to Abram's heart. I like in the Bible where God comes and talks to people individually. Remember when Elijah was having a rough time down by the brook Cherith? And he came and he said, you go down to the brook Cherith, you go there, and the ravens are going to feed you, and there's water in that brook. And it was just a time, and if you have a Scofield reference Bible, I always like Dr. Scofield's title of that section. It says, God's tender care of his overwrought prophet. Wait a minute. Man like it, Elijah, overwrought? Well, he's a human being, isn't he? Flesh, isn't he? You flesh? undeniably so. We're all flesh. Are we susceptible to failure? Are we susceptible to discouragement? Are we susceptible to any emotional failing? And the answer is undoubtedly yes. Sometimes we don't even feel like getting up out of bed in the morning. I wish I could live a victorious life of faith, but sometimes this thing called the flesh gets in my way. Then there's also another little thing called the devil. And the devil will come and whisper into your ears and tell you God has forgotten you and God doesn't love you anymore and God doesn't care and God's just a bunch of words. So much so that if you're not careful, you'll believe it. I can't imagine anybody doing that, preacher. I've talked to many of them. I said, we'd like to have you come down to the church. Well, preacher, I used to go to church somewhere. But I tell you, this church thing is just beyond me, and it's just a bunch of talk and a bunch of mumbo jumbo, and I'm just not into that anymore. Now tell me how you combat that. You can't. You can talk till you blue in the face, but if they don't want to hear what you got to say, they're not gonna listen. And you do the best that you can. What was the purpose of the Lord's visit? One, to maybe confirm and help the heart of Abram with doubt and envy. Also, possibly to assure that whatever the world offers is second place to God's provision. You can say what you want to in Lot's life, but Lot saw something that appealed to him. Say, oh, Lot shouldn't have done it. Well, we know he shouldn't have done it, but guess what? He did it. You know how many people say they're Christians and they went out last night and got drunk? You know how many people say they're Christians, but they won't darken the doors of a church, but they'll tell you, oh, I'm a Christian, yeah. You know how many people are Christians and they woke up this morning with a hangover, either because of drugs or alcohol or something like that, or they've lived an immoral lifestyle, but they'll tell you up one side they're Christians and then curse and use profanity publicly. More than we care to think about. Those are the faithfulness of God's promises. Abram had to come to a place, and whether I like it or not, or you like it or not, you got to come to the place where you say, God, if I don't trust your promises, I'm going to sink. Sometimes that's where you have to go. You have no place else to go. Someplace you sometimes you get to rock bottom, and you have no place to look but up. That's the faithfulness of God's promises. But then notice the second thing. Notice the faithfulness of God's presence. When did God appear to Abram? Answer, verse 14 says, after that Lot was separated from him. He left. There was separation. They were still family. I don't really know the total purpose behind the separation. What I mean by that, we know there was an argument. We know there was fighting amongst the hired hands and the brethren. And so they had to separate for the sake of family unity, if you will. But still, in the midst of all of that, God did come to Abram, and God's presence did come to Abram because of Abram's total obedience. Can I say to you today, and you listen to what I'm saying, that if you're going to follow God, it requires total obedience and is a price to pay to get it. You know how hard that is? It is a hard road to be totally obedient to God, because if you do, it's not easy. Turn on any televangelist you want to and listen to what they say on TV, and they'll tell you the Christian life is as easy as a bed of roses. What they forget to tell you is when you lift the roses, there are thorns. And And I'm sorry, there's no other way around it. There is a price to pay for discipleship. You know what the Lord Jesus said? Lord Jesus said, "He that putteth his hands to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God." There's a price. It's not an easy price, but it's a price, and it's a price of total obedience. And at the time, understand, at the time, here's a man that had nothing. He had no home to live in. He was nomadic. He lived in tents. He was an old man, and he had nothing, but he's been promised the world by God, but he hadn't seen it yet. And can I say this to you, that Abraham has not yet to see what Israel is like today, other than whatever God may have communicated to him in heaven. But he never lived down here to see what all happened. God kept his promise. The old saying is, and how? But you can promise everybody the world, but Dr. B.R. Lakin said, so many people are so caught up with the sweet by and by, they forget about the nasty now and now. And sometimes the now and now is plenty nasty. Then something else about the presence of God. God's appearance was to remind Abram not to become worldly minded. Look at verse 17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. Notice that he makes a statement that he says, walk through it. Don't stay in it. Here's what we have to be careful of as Christians. I want you to listen to this. We as Christians, if we're not careful, what we will do is we will practice isolation instead of separation. Know what I mean by that? Sometimes we say, oh, I got to stay out of the world. But guess where the people are you have to win to Jesus Christ are? But we isolate ourselves and we say, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. I have a preacher friend, he's a younger man than I am, and I love him, and I taught him in Bible college. But you know what? And this is my opinion, you can disagree. But he told me, oh, we don't have the internet or a computer in our house. Well, that's his business if he wants to do it. But he is so afraid of certain things on the internet and on the computer that he is cheating himself out of using it to the glory of God. He just had a son that graduated this year from homeschooling, and here's what I'm afraid of. When I see people that do that, what I'm afraid of is that could be a young man that if he has never been able to have access to a computer, that he may go crazy when he gets out on his own. With everything, there is responsibility. I can't stop you from what you do. And God didn't call me. I've said this before, some preachers like to be policemen. They like to police something. Everybody does. I'm not going to police you. I'm not going to, those of you on Facebook, I'm not going to get on your Facebook and check you out, make notes and say, oh man, I got to get old so-and-so, because, or I'm not going to make phone calls, see you. No. There comes a responsibility where everybody must take care of their own individual walk with God Almighty. Because if God the Holy Ghost can't monitor you, who am I? If God can't straighten you out, you can't be straightened out till you get straightened out by the mortician. You better watch out when he straightens you out. There's a price to pay. You walk through the world, but you better not stay in the world, because if you do, it'll get you. Because that's just the drawing of the world. And then God's presence to believers is faithful to comfort. God guided Lot even in which land he should occupy, so that who got the greater blessing? Abram did. And God's presence to believers is faithful not only to comfort but to convict. Then Abram removed his tent. He didn't stay there. God said, this is not your end. This is the beginning. Pick your tent up, fold it up, let's keep moving. Some Christians think, oh, this is as far as I can go. I like it right here. I'm in my comfort zone. But watch out. God has a way of breaking up your comfort zone. Because He may have another thing yet for you to do. I was sharing with the Sunday school class today. Some of you may have read this, and I cannot remember where I read it because I read so much. But someone talked about one time how our lives are actually broken up into segments of 10 years. And you have 10 years of your life that you maybe put into a certain thing, then 10 more years, and that may or may not apply to you. But I have looked at my own life, and I have looked back, and I said, that's pretty close to true. And you think about it, maybe may not be true for your case. But the thing is, there comes a time in your life where you may say, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, and guess what? Because people say, oh, I'm going to retire doing so-and-so. You might forget. Might as well forget that word. Most people, if the truth be known, most every one of us right here, including the younger people, are going to work till the day we die. They keep moving the Social Security up year by year by year. And you can find out, supposedly, when you can start drawing it. A lot of people, it's not 62 anymore. Now it's 63, then it's 64, then it's 65. Then somebody told me their retirement is 67. Is there a reason for this? Sure, because we're bankrupt. More than likely, there's no money out there. There's no Social Security. We're bankrupt. So, in other words, how do you handle that? We're paying our money in, but it's all being sucked out in different directions. So by the time most of us get to where we can draw Social Security, we'll probably be lucky to get hardly anything at all. You didn't believe that when you started in your 20s working. You weren't promised that. Now look at the way the economy is and look at the way all these things are going. Hey, it's not the same. And I got news for you. 10 more years, it'll be different than it is right now. Abram removed his tent. God said, take it, move on. We're not done yet. That news for you, you're probably not done yet. God's got something else for you to do. You might think, I'm done, I'm retired. But God might say, nope, you're going to refire. You got things you got to do for my glory. And he learned that. Let us not despise the presence of the Lord for whatever purpose he might intend. Sometimes the Lord will visit us, and maybe we need a whipping. Maybe we've gotten so cold. Maybe we've got so pathetic that God says the only thing going to get you going is a good old swat in the britches. First thing we see is to notice the faithfulness of God's promises. Secondly, the faithfulness of God's presence. Third thing, as we close this morning, note the faithfulness of Abram's praise. Upon receiving the word of God, Abram, knowing not to become settled in this world, went to Mamre. You know what Mamre means? Remember I told you that names mean something in the Bible? And when we find names, I try to tell you what those names mean. Mamre means richness. And then he goes on to a place called Hebron. And Hebron means communion. He's sitting in a tent. And he thinks, look at all, God said, I got all this property. This is good. Let me sit here. Let me build my city right here. God says, Get up, pack your tent, head this direction. First place you're going in your life is Mamre, and you're going to learn what richness means. What is richness? Notice I did not say riches. Richness. What is richness? Richness is knowing that you are rich in God.
Then he didn't stay at Mamre long. Once he learned the lesson of richness, he went to Hebron. And Hebron means the place of communion, because in the midst of this difficult times, get this in your brain for a moment. The times that are most difficult in your life might be the times that God visits with you the most. You know why? Because during my hard times, I'm willing to listen. And God has my attention. But when everything is going fine, I don't need to hear from God. Well, preacher, I've never said that. None of us would ever say that. But it's still so by action. Following the precious promises of God, let us not be rude to ignore and give to God our small and meager praise. Verse 18, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And notice that last phrase of the chapter, and built there an altar to the Lord. Altar for what reason? To sacrifice. What else? To praise. I believe that if he had no praise in his heart, God would not have required him to have an altar. Perhaps God would have said something to the effect, if that's the way you feel about it and you're not sincere and you're building an altar just because you're supposed to do it, I don't want it. He wants an altar. He wants sacrifice. He wants praise. Can I say it one more time? That's sometimes really hard to do. God's faithfulness herein described is so given in response to a believer's faithfulness through this earthly sojourn. You say, preacher, I've got some things in my life. I've got some crossroads. I've got some decisions to make, and I don't know what to do. Let me tell you, when you don't know what to do, keep doing what you're doing. Because if you're where God wants you to be, He just hasn't seen fit to come down and visit and tell you anything different, so keep on until He shows you clearly what to do. Because it does get tough. And it does get difficult. He'll show you what to do in His time. Did you see what I said? Did you hear what I said? In His time. In His time. Wait upon the Lord. And that's awfully, awfully hard. Let's pray. So, preacher, it sure is getting tough, and I've come to the end of my rope. What do I do? I don't know what else to tell you. All thing I know we can do is just tie a knot at the end of the rope and keep hanging on. And God, give us grace to do it. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. Give us strength. Help us to learn from the life of Abram, the faithfulness of Thy people. Pray that You'll direct us and help us and guide us. And when we get to the end of our rope, help us to tie a knot in the end of the rope and to keep looking to You for help and strength. We need You. We cannot do without You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number
235, Ask Me Not.
As we stand and sing, if you need to come and pray, the altar is open. You come.
Thank you.
our heads and close our eyes. We're not going to tarry long. Sister, you play. I'm going to encourage you today. If the rope is withering, if it's unraveling, if you feel like you're about done with all you can do, you better come. You better talk to him. Because you want to become not bitter, but you want to be better. This thing ain't easy. This Christian walk's not easy. You got the world, the flesh, and the devil. When it gets tough, you better get closer to God. Draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. This thing ain't easy. This thing ain't easy. You've got to take it to Him. You've got to take it to Him. God teaches to be faithful. So hard. His flesh is flesh. His flesh is flesh.
Jewish, Brother Bill, would you come please? Receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. If you want to pick up a new copy of The Sword of the Lord, right down here, so you can pick that up. Tonight, 5 o'clock, this afternoon, 5 o'clock, we'll be finishing a series on heaven. And this is going to have to do with the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So we're going to be looking in the Bible tonight, talking about what the Bible says about the reign of Jesus on this earth for 1,000 years. That'll finish our series on the subject of heaven. All right. Anybody got any other announcements before we pray for the offering? Brother Julius, should lead us in prayer. Amen.